could see so many out here. You all came at the same time or something. There was nobody. I looked around, there was nobody, and all of a sudden, very good. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Can you see that okay? I can't see it very good. Is there too many lights on or what? That's the Kenya trip, November 2nd, December 7th. I left on December the 2nd, and I arrived there on the 7th. It took a while for me to get to Kenya. It's quite a trip to go there. So I got there about 2:30 in the morning on a Lord's Day. So I couldn't go to a meeting. I was tired anyway from the traveling, you know, all the flying, which I don't like. But anyway, I got there and I slept most of the day. And that evening, they took me out and I had to have a Bible reading. They just said, "You talk." So I talked and we had a Bible reading. That was okay. The next picture, that's where I stayed for the first few days with Brother Jacob and Susan Barghese. You can see them in your missionary handbook. They are commended from Dallas, Texas. And that's where they live, in that apartment building. The next picture, I was at a school. That's just some of the little children. I went there on Monday, the day after I arrived, and they wanted their picture taken. The next picture, a couple of girls, they like having their picture taken over there. They don't have much, and so anyway, I did that. The next picture, I don't know if any of you men do work on staging or not, but there's some staging to work on, and they actually do. It's amazing. The next picture, that's at the bus station where I'm going to get the bus to travel to a place called Migori. I was only in Nairobi for a few days. Then I was off to Migori to be with Brother Paul Adu. Brother Paul Adu is a commended evangelist from one of the meetings over there, and he works exclusively with the prisons. There are many prisons over there. I was in 6 prisons this last trip. There were supposed to be 8, but we were turned away. There's some paperwork done, so I didn't get to 2. Next time, I hope to get to 12 prisons. They like us coming to the prison, so I'm happy about that. But he works with the prisoners, and he brings Emmaus Bible courses to them and picks them up and marks them, and he travels around. He has a motorcycle. So I was with Brother Paul, and I stayed with Brother Paul. Now, I took some pictures along the way. It's about a 10, 12-hour bus ride out the window. So that's just a shop. I can't read what that says or anything. But that's what you find in these little villages, these little, like that, a bunch of little shops where they sell this and that. The next picture, that's a town. I'm not sure what town that is, but that's what you see there. Lots of people. The next picture, it's a market. And they always do marketing in all these little towns. People come and they bring what they grow, and then they stay there from sun up till sundown, and they try and sell whatever they can get, a little bit of money to buy food for the day. They all live there. It's a very poor country. Kenya is truly a third world country. They're very poor, and they don't have anything. They don't have any electricity in their homes. They don't have any plumbing in their homes. Most of them just sleep on the floor. And I'm talking about all of Kenya, all these towns and villages, you know. So there's the market. And it's kind of fun buying things with them at the market because you never pay what they want. You know, they'll say, I want 50 shillings for that. And you say, well, I'll give you 15 shillings. Then you go up to 40 shillings and 20 shillings, 30. So it's kind of fun buying stuff at the market. When you go there, it's not like here. There's the price, you pay it. Next one, this is a guy, he's out in the street. He's in the street there, and he's a tailor. I think they're two brothers. And the next picture shows the suits. They made these suits right out there on the street. So I thought it was quite interesting to see that. They were very good, and the suits look nice. The next picture, these two guys, motorcycle drivers, he didn't let me taking his pictures. You can see, like, what are you doing? You know, you should give me some money. Some people want money for their picture being taken. But I'm in the bus, and he can't get at me, so I took it anyway. Yeah, he's going, what are you doing? Anyway, next one. Now, it's about 72 degrees. That's what they're wearing. That was cool. That was, to them, it was cool day, 72. But anyway, that was kind of funny. They're cold. I'm not sure what they're selling there. The next picture, all the ladies do that. I don't know how they do that, but they do. You know, they walk all around, and, you know, so she was happy that I took her picture. The next one, that's, I'm in the warden's office there at a prison. The prisons are run by the military, we always go to the warden's office. We go there before, and then after the preaching, we go there after. They are expecting us, so they have, all the men are free. There's no work being done, so we have all the prisoners. In this particular prison, and sometimes the wardens will come and hear themselves, the gospel. And the guards listen, too, with their big MK machine guns and so on. They stand around, and they all listen to the gospel. Kenya is just wide open for the gospel there. Delightful place to be. He told me that this prison held 318 prisoners. It was so designed to hold 318 prisoners. And he told me we have 869 prisoners here. There's so much crime in Kenya. There's prisons everywhere, and they've got no room for the prisoners because, like, poverty will breed dishonesty, yes, you know, and so on, and there's very little regard over there for women, and you know what I mean by that. So we had a good time there. The next picture, I gave the camera to somebody, and I'm pointing heavenward there, so I must be talking about heaven. Yes, going to heaven, preaching to the prisoners. That's just some of them. As I said, there were over 800 prisoners there. You know, it's amazing, and many of them come to Christ. I ask for their names, to pray for them. I've always done that. I when I went to Guyana three different times, I got their names so I could pray for them. But after a while, the names, there's a lot of names, you know, a lot of names. And so there was over 80 names there. When they get saved, these men, like, it's very real, you know, it's very real. They're on their knees and they're crying. Actually, there's tears flowing down their face and they're crying out to God, you know. It's reality to me. Because when I preach the gospel, I make it very plain and clear to these men. You know, it isn't just saying, I believe and I'm saved. It's not that way. You've got to repent. Most people, most prisoners that go out of prison end up back in prison again. It's the same as over here in Canada and the United States. It's the same over there. And so I said, listen, if you want to, when you get out, a lot of them aren't getting out. A lot of them are in there for life. I asked the warden about that. They have a lot of men in there that are never getting out, but there are some who are getting out. And I said, you're going to end up back in here again. Chances are you will be back inside the prison again unless you want to be a new man. Now, if you want to be a new man, brand new man, and I let them know what repentance is all about, okay? Yes, let them know so they know exactly what they're getting into here. It's not, I believe and I'm saved. No, you're not saved. Oh, you're not saved. If you're not going to repent of your sin, if you don't want to be a new man, okay? If you don't want to be a new man, I say, listen, don't waste my time coming up here to talk to me. And don't waste your own time. But if you want to be a brand new man, and you go back to your wife a brand new man, your kids, and you show the world, I'm in Christ now, then you trust Christ and trust Him today. Trust Him today. I don't know when I'm coming back again. And so many, many are saved, but the name thing, you know, I had 80 names there, and I did a lot of thinking about it. And the next prison I went to, there were over 100 names. I'm only in Kenya about 4 days. I have 180 names of men who profess faith in Christ, plus women. And I'm looking at my list in my Bible bag and thinking, you know, it already takes me like an hour and a half. Just names to the Lord, like giving the Lord names. So I had to make a decision, and a multitude of counselors, there was safety, and I just talked to a couple of brethren about it. God knows their names. That's the conclusion I came to. God knows their names. He knows all the men who came forward and professed faith in Christ. He doesn't need me to tell them their names. He knows them all. The hairs of their head are numbered. So now I generally just pray for those in Guyana and those in South Africa and those in Kenya. God, you know who came forward. You know those who are real and genuine. You know those whose hearts deceive them. They think they're saved, but they're not saved. Reveal that to them. And those who aren't saved, God, deal with them in a mighty way. Convict them of their sin. And so it makes my prayer time much more enjoyable now, really. I have more time to spend alone with my Lord. So anyway, I thought I'd just mention that. I couldn't go on that way, getting names. We get names for Emmaus Bible courses because many of them want to sign up for Emmaus Bible courses and learn and go on and so on, and that's a wonderful thing. So we do get their names. Okay, I thought I'd mention that. These are the women that were there, some of them. Notice the children. It's different in Kenya. They allow the women to have their children inside the prison. Nowhere else for the children to be. They live in the streets, the children there. There are over 150,000 children in Nairobi alone who live in the streets. These are children. Like, I mean, 6 years old, 7 years old and up. They have no homes to go to. They live in the streets. Yeah. And the men run these kids. And glue is readily available all over the place over there, you know. And they give them glue. They sniff the glue. And they get addicted to the glue. And the glue kills their brain cells. And they want the glue so bad, they're going into withdrawal. Imagine that 10-year-old kid having withdrawal, wanting the glue. And they say, you don't bring back food, you bring back money. We want money. So the kids all work for these very evil men. Yes? How evil is that? And the kids come up, you know, and they point their mouth, you know, their tummy, and they want some money from you. It's kind of a sad thing to see the reality of that. But they let the women have their children inside the prison to raise them, and I think that's a good thing. What brought me over there initially to Kenya, what interested me in Kenya, is that they have the second largest slum in the world just outside Nairobi. Delhi is one higher. There's about 2 million people in this slum. Now, by slum, I mean their houses are corrugated metal sheets. Yes, if one for the couple for the back and a couple for your sides, maybe they're about 8-10 feet wide. I don't know, 12 feet long, and you have a blanket hanging down the front, and that's where you live. You live in there, you sleep on the floor with your children. That many people. They go to the bathroom outside in the street. That's where they go to the bathroom. There's no plumbing in there, no electricity in there. They're just existing. And I wanted to go into Durbe. That's the name of the place, Durbe. And the first time I was there, they just said, well, we have your itinerary all set up, so we can't do it right now. So this time I mentioned in the email, I want to go into Durbe. I want to go in there, you know, and let these people know there's hope for them. There's new life for them after they die. So I told them that. Please get me into Derby. Well, once again, they didn't mention Derby. And I said, well, goodness sake, can I get a picture of Derby? They wouldn't bring me near Derby. They told me why. They couldn't bring me near Derby because I'm a white man. And if you're a white man, you must be a rich man. And they would kill me. They told me you would be dead in 10 minutes. I was very disappointed. I can't go in that place. That's sad, isn't it? I thought to myself, I ought to get about 6 bodyguards, great big Kenyan men, yeah, with guns on them. Yes, and I'm in the middle with the microphone, the speakers, and I'll preach the gospel. But I don't think I can do that. That wouldn't work. Anyhow, I feel sad about that. There's an article in the newspaper, a woman from Derby She wrote about her 7-year-old daughter being raped, and in the article it said that every single day, on the average, there are 100 women raped in Derbe. How about that? And they don't even report it to the police in Nairobi because the police in Nairobi will not go into Derbe. They're afraid to go into Derbe. Well, it's quite a place. The children don't go to school. You got to pay to go to school in Kenya. How about that? No money, you don't go to school. The children are raised illiterate, all these children in Kenya. It's a sad place. And the mothers and the fathers, so the children aren't suffering without food, they give them, the mother does. She gives them glue, right? They sniff the glue. They get to some kind of high, the brain cells, you know, and so on. But what it does, it kills the appetite, and the child isn't hungry for 4 or 5 days. That's what the glue does. That's why they give the glue to the children. Imagine that place, you know. It just makes me cry when I'm there. And I can't even get a picture of it, because if they saw me in the car, they would come, you know. These men would come, and I'd be a dead man. Anyhow, I thought I'd mention that. We can pray for them. I don't know. You can't get in there. It's frustrating for me. Anyway, well, we'll move on. That was my chief mode of transportation. I have a very, very bad back. That killed my back. The whole time I was there, my back was so bad, but I put up with it. It was okay. I put up with my back. Motorcycles on so-called roads. And the roads there are absolutely terrible, you know. They're just ruts and holes, and he's going this way in the bike and that way in the bike, trying to avoid everything. Brother Paul is the driver there. And we're on our way to see some young men and women who graduated from the Emmaus, the courses. They have courses. They go on to the next courses. I don't know a lot about Emmaus. So I want to find out more about it. But anyway, the next picture, there's some of the young people. Next picture. Okay, we'll go back. Go back then to those young people. Yeah, there's 3 of them there. And I spoke to them, tried to encourage them and so on to go on for God and the gospel. I mean, it's not just about getting like an education, you know, and I know my Bible, and I all have all this Bible knowledge. I mean, what good is the Bible knowledge, you know, if I don't put it into practice in my life? Like, theory is good. Yes, theory's great, but do it. Put it into practice in your life. So I tried to stir them up, and then the gospel. Yes, the gospel is what it's all about. That's what our lives ought to be all about, is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Yes? Yes. Paul said, well, I'll declare unto you the gospel, 1 Corinthians 15:1. I'll declare unto you the gospel that I preached. Yes? And he said, Christ died for our sins. He doesn't mention his life. There's no mention of the life of the Lord Jesus Christ in the gospel, is there? You see? They think, oh, it's just an example. He's our good example. There's no mention of his life in the gospel. Christ died for our sins. And that's what's going on in the world. As we know, this world is simply a battlefield. That's all it is. It's a battlefield for the souls of men and women. That's all it is. Everything is so designed to keep you in your sins. People in their sins. That's all it is. It's Satan against the gospel. That's it. Boil it all down. A battlefield is this world. And it's good for us as God's people to understand that. And that God wants to use me. He wants to use me to be a witness for him. Yes? That's what he wants. So I tried to stir these young people up. I don't know if I was successful or not. But anyway, the next picture. That's Paul Adu's house. He just finished it the day that I got there. I have a little wee mat there on the floor. I stayed there for about a week, I guess. He has no plumbing. He has no electricity. No windows in his house. In that pillow, full of bed bugs, my goodness sake. I wake up in the morning, it bites all over me, you know, my head, my face, everywhere. And I had to sleep there every night. And I couldn't say anything because I didn't want to offend them, you know. The bites would kind of go away during the day and fade. But every night, I laid my head in the pillow, I knew what was coming. The next morning, bed bugs, okay. I got over the bed bugs. That was all right. The next picture is the little, I was like Elijah. I had a bed, table, and a chair. That's all I had. That's all I needed. That's the table with all my stuff on it. I love being over there. Okay, the next picture. That's the assembly right near Paul's house. That's some of the brethren that are in the house. The next picture. That's got me to stand there with them. In the morning, they asked me to give minister the word to the saints. So I said, fine. Well, I didn't feel exercised before God to give ministry. I just didn't. I felt exercised to preach the gospel. Now, over there, all the ladies sit on one side of the assembly, and all the men sit on the other side of the assembly. Anyway, I preached the gospel to them. Now, after the meeting was over, they have this ritual where they sing songs, and they all shake hands and so on and so on. I never talked to anybody personally after the meeting. So they went home, and it was kind of raining and so on in the afternoon. Maybe we're going to cancel the meeting or not cancel the meeting. And then I looked up the road around 2 in the afternoon, and there was about 10 brothers and sisters walking along. And, you know, they walked about 10 miles to come to meeting. Over there, Christianity really means something to them, you know. When they get saved, they take it very seriously. They take the Bible very seriously and their Christian life very seriously. You know, the young people over there are amazing. You know, they are. They really know their Bibles over there, and that's a wonderful thing to see. So we had a meeting that afternoon, and I gave some ministry. I don't know what it was on, maybe church truth or something. They really need teaching over there on church truth. But after the meeting was over, four came to me, three sisters, and a brother. And they asked if they could talk to me, and I said, sure. So I sat down, and they sat in front of me, and all four of them told me that this morning God spoke to their hearts, and they weren't even saved. They weren't saved. They're in assembly fellowship. Yes, the hats on, the dresses and all of that. The men breaking bread, Lord's Day after Lord's Day, and they weren't even saved. And God revealed that unto them, and they got saved. All four of them got saved. Amazing thing. So when I was down in Guyana, brought to mind a memory I have down there. We were having a meeting in this little village. It was like stadium seating and a lot of, about 300 people there. And there were 10 young girls in the meeting there. And with the head covering, the skirts, and they're singing in their Indian language. And the keyboard's playing. And it's a lovely time, very reverent. And after I preached the gospel, and when it was done, 6 of the 10 young ladies came to me with tears in their eyes. They weren't even saved. They weren't even saved. How about that? And they're in fellowship in the assembly. And I wonder about that. And I think of Luke 13 when the Lord Jesus said, you know, many, many in that day will say to me, have we not eaten and drunk in thy presence? I mean, who are the only ones who eat and drink in the presence of Christ? We are the only ones, right? For 2,000 years now, we are the only ones. So we can't take for granted that people, just because they're in the assembly, are saved. So it's good for me to be mindful of that as I travel about and preach the gospel. Don't take it for granted. The next picture, that is the assembly, that black barrel. That's where drinking water over in Kenya is rainwater. It comes down off the roof. Well, that's where the birds go, right? And all that stuff off the roof. And there's your water. It's okay. I diarrhea almost the whole time. It's okay. Put up with that. The next picture, there's the facilities. And I'll just mention the facilities. When you go in there, there's a cement floor, and there's a hole about that big in the floor. And that's it. Those are your facilities, okay? So you can use your imagination on that one. The next picture, that's Paul, Brother Paul. That's a brick-making thing. He built his own house brick by brick by brick out of that thing there. He baked the mud in that brick thing. The next picture, it's him and his wife. He can't make them out too well, but he's a dear brother. He goes to the prisons. Paul Adu is his name. And they're poor. They're all poor over there. Now, the next picture, that's just a bookshop. I didn't stop and go in. And I wonder what's behind those doors falling down. Books are in there. The next picture, you share the roads over there with the cattle and the goats and maybe some sheep, you know. Next picture, he's in one lane, we're in the other lane. You know, we share the lanes as we go down through the streets. It is kind of funny. The next picture, it's a Glory Hotel. How about that? Glory Hotel. I looked at it and I thought, I wonder what it's like in there. Glory Hotel. But I didn't go in that one. I did stay in another one. I'll show you later. That's another prison. Yeah, I'm preaching the gospel to another prison. And there was always a response. There was always a great response. The men responded, and God spoke to their hearts, and I thank God for that. It's quite overwhelming for me. I mean, I'm in North America all these years, and I have to sometimes ask at the back, are there any unsaved out tonight? Yes. English, the man beside me is Swahili. Only because certain words they might not understand. That's all. But I was surprised. An interpreter, at first I was intimidated. I never had an interpreter before. And I pictured an interpreter standing beside me, just blandly repeating what I said. But not so. These are brethren. And when I was preaching, man, he's preaching. He was preaching the gospel in Swahili. So I had a wonderful time. Yes, I did. We preached together. And again, the response was always great. Thank God for that. You know, it makes you cry yourself to sleep at night. You know, when you think about that, how many souls came to Christ today? Yeah. Next picture. That's an assembly building in Nairobi. I broke bread there and I preached the gospel there in that place. The next place. These are the guys. Nairobi, the city. They don't run the city very well, and there's too many cars for the street. It takes you about 3 hours to get through Nairobi. If you want to go somewhere, on a bicycle, half an hour you're there. In a car, 3 hours you're there. And it's full of people like that. And he's selling windshield wipers and battery cables. They sell anything. You don't know what's in their hands, you know. They come along with their windows, you know, and that's where you do your marketing sometimes. Just go for a drive through Nairobi. The ladies go by with the babies on their back wanting money for the baby. You know, I need some money for my baby. And the baby's not even her baby. It's a rented baby. The mother rents the baby out, you see, and then she gets half the money. So it's different there in Nairobi. Next picture. It was her brethren. I met with those brethren, I think, three times. They're from three different assemblies. They all came together. And they mean business, you know, they do. It's wonderful to see that. Young Christian men who mean business with God, their lives. They want their lives to count for God. And they take their Bibles very seriously and their lives very seriously. So anyway, I just thought I'd take their picture there of those five brethren. There were about 30 of them there, I guess. The next picture, that's just Brother Jacob Varghese's living room. Now, Jacob and Susan commended from Dallas. He had a big job. She had a big job. They lived in a big house. Yes, big house with a basement, the big flat screen TV, two cars, restaurants, and the whole business, right? And they left all of that to live in that apartment building I showed you. That's his living room. So there's his furniture in his living room, those plastic chairs for when brethren come over to have Bible readings. That's all he has. There's no couch in there, no chair in there. Like, why do I need a couch? Why do I need a chair, you see? He only has one night to himself, one night for his family. He's that busy in the gospel over there. The next picture is her kitchen, little wee kitchen. See what she cooks on that little burner there, the propane thing underneath, Susan. And the next picture is the other half of her kitchen. And that's it, little wee kitchen, and that's how they live. And I thought that was quite commendable that he's doing that. He's giving his life, and she's giving her life for Christ and making the sacrifices for our Lord. The next picture, that's Jacob and Susan there. I'm on my way on a bus to go up to Busia. The next picture, she's pouring water on his hands. That's what they do there. You go before you eat, they go around and pour water on your hand. They have no running water there, so that you wash your hands before you eat. The next picture, I just couldn't resist that old guy. Look at that guy. Man, oh man. He's a great fellow to talk to. That's the inside of an assembly building, by the way, in a little place I went to. The next place, that's the brethren outside, the young men. We're having a little Bible reading together outside. It was a great day. The next picture, that's the open air. I had a little preaching the gospel there. Open air meetings are good. I did a lot of open air there, a lot of open air. And those markets I showed you, we go to markets all the time, and we preach the gospel. The next one, that is the assembly building inside. That's their assembly. Next picture, yeah, that's it. I don't know how big it would be. I suppose maybe about as big as up here. This area right here, that's how big it is. But you know, they're happy, happy Christians, right? They're happy Christians. They don't need anything else, right? What do they need? They have Christ in the midst. They have their Bibles. They remember the Lord. They sing hymns together. They love one another. They have fellowship one with another. They go preach the gospel in the market. They have wonderful lives, okay? So we don't need stuff. We don't need it all. The next picture, that's a prison. Pretty hard tickets in there, I'll tell you. I was done preaching. I was all done preaching there. And they said, come on over and have your picture taken with us. So I went in there with them, and I did. I love the prisons over there, the prisoners. They're just new prisoners there. They haven't got the uniforms yet. They just arrived. Anyhow, next picture. That's the ladies. Every single one of those women got saved. They all came to me one by one, and they all professed faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's a chaplain there standing beside them. The next picture, Busia women prison. Next picture, yeah, Busia. That's the men's side there of the prison. Solemn going into prisons, yes. The next picture, that's where I stayed. In Busia, I was there for at least a week. We have meetings every day, every morning, afternoon, every night. It was wonderful being there. And that's the paradise. It was very cheap, the paradise lodge and hotel. It wasn't the Glory Hotel, but it was close. It's paradise. So the next picture, there's the bathroom of paradise. Yes. Toilet seat in the floor. Showers there. It's kind of funny. The next picture, that's the ceiling. The ceiling leaked. 75% of the ceiling leaked every time it rained. But not on the bed. I thank the Lord. Not on the bed. I didn't get wet. So I thank the Lord. And one of my friends there, they're full of them, just full, you know. I'd come in, there's no windows there, so I'd come in at night and I'd unlock the door real quiet, you know. And then I'd step in, I'd flick the light on, and they're all over the walls, these cockroaches, you know. They're about as big as my hand. They're huge things over there, and they all scatter, they're gone. Split second, they're gone. They come out at nighttime, and I can feel them crawling over my body as I'm lying there, but I got accustomed to cockroaches in Guyana. And I don't mind cockroaches because they don't bite. They're not poisonous. They don't bite. So I don't even care. It's all right, you know. Down in Guyana, I was sitting there reading my Bible, eating some crackers. And I put my hand down. I grabbed a cracker, and it went out of my hand. It was gone. And there was a cockroach. He's pulling it away with his cracker. So I let him have it. You can have my crackers. Okay, we'll share. We'll share. We share the bed. We share our food. Anyway. Well, the next picture, that's the assembly. We had a wonderful time there. We had young people come from all over the place. You know, they I don't know how they get there, really. I don't know how they get there. These young people came. And I preached three times a day, all week long, three times a day. And they were there taking notes and so on. The next picture, that's Brother Evans and his wife, Mary. I'll talk about him when I'm done. Brother Evans, the next picture is Brother Hillary and his wife, and they're commended workers, they're evangelists, and they are true evangelists. I mean, we were on the same page, all three of us, same page, heart for souls, and we were all over the place preaching the gospel. We had a wonderful time. He has a motorcycle, Brother Hillary. Brother Evans does not have any transportation. Lives in a little wee apartment there. There's no plumbing. There's no... Yes, you had electricity sometimes. In Busia, 40% of the time you had electricity. Often you're sitting there eating, and then boof, it's black. Get the candles out, they're used to that. You can't depend on electricity in Kenya. You can't depend on it. It's always going out, coming back on, going out. The next picture, that's the inside of their assembly. And that's quite something, isn't it? All thrown together like that, little pieces of metal. But we had a wonderful time in there. We really did. The next picture, that's interesting, yes? LeBlanc, yeah. LeBlanc. So everybody over there is very friendly in Kenya. The people endear themselves to you. They really do. I didn't meet anybody that said, no, thank you. I don't want a gospel tract. And most times, they'll take the time and you can have a word in season with them as well. You know, it's so different than over here. I was in a restaurant once. I was getting a bus to go somewhere, and it was a restaurant. And it had, I said, I'll have coffee and toast. So she brought me over this instant coffee. They don't even know what per coffee is over there. Instant coffee, it's all right. And then she brought me bread. It was just bread. And I said, well, your menu says toast. She looked at me. She said, that is toast. I said, all right, fine, it's toast. They don't even know what a toaster is, you know. But I had my bread and my coffee. And beside me, there were three gentlemen at a table. So I just gave them each a tract to read. You know, here's a little something for you to read. And the next thing I know, there was about maybe 30 people in the restaurant. Every single person came over to me for a tract. They came to me, you know. I didn't have to go to them. They came to me and said, could I have one of those pieces of paper that you just gave those men, you know? So it's delightful for me to be there as an evangelist, really. It's just delightful. The next picture, that's the conference that I'm at. That's a cow. They are getting the supper ready. Yes, the supper that evening. And they're whacking off pieces of meat. They skinned it, right? Killed it right there, skinned it right there, and hacked off the meat right there. So I was kind of amazed at that. They were having a fun time, those guys. See the smile? They had a good time. The next picture, that's just outside. Some of the brethren, I had a little preach there. The next picture, that's the conference. There was about, I don't know, maybe 600 brethren that were there. So I was in there preaching the gospel in that place. I think the next picture, that's at a market. I went to many, many markets over there, and they rent speakers, and they rent a keyboard, and they sing, and then they just let me loose with the mic, and I'll preach three and four times because the people don't want to go anywhere. They don't leave. They stay. That was good. Good. Now preach again, please. So we sing a couple of songs, and I'll preach again. So I had a great time, and the Lord strengthened me for the whole time. The next picture, that's a baptism. Before I mention that, when I preached the gospel at the conference, it was an amazing thing. The Lord spoke, and many, many people came up. They come to the front. They came up to the front, and they got on their knees, and some were crying, you know. And I was all done preaching, and I'm standing there looking at this, and they're coming up and falling on their knees, you know. So I had to get out of there. I just couldn't take that. I had to get out. I had to walk all around them, in around them, like a maze, and get out of that place. But it was wonderful to see the response that they have to the gospel. Now, this is for a baptism. There was a ditch out there behind the building. The next picture, there's the ditch. Next picture, they just kept doing that, and finally they got enough water, I don't know, 2.5 feet maybe. There were supposed to be 3 baptized. There were 7 baptized altogether in that dirty old water. The next picture is there's the first guy there. He's going under the waters of baptism. So it was kind of special, you know, and all the saints were there, and we were singing hymns together. The next picture is another market. Always at the markets with preaching, you know, and that was wonderful. The only thing about the markets is, which I'll talk about just for a minute before I leave, is that you don't get really to meet anybody. You know, you don't know. I'm sure many were saved. I know they were saved. but you don't get to meet them, you know. There's so many people, 300, 400 people in these markets. The next picture, I guess it's done. Yeah, I guess that's done. Yeah, okay, so I'll just mention the, they have, I spoke 55 times over there. I guess in five weeks. I was in six prisons, as I said. A gospel series. They'd say we're having a gospel series this afternoon. Well, I mean, to me, a gospel series is you have meetings night after night after night for a week or 2 weeks. That's a gospel series. But over there, they meant that the going to the market, you know. So they're a little mixed up in their terminology there. I love going to the market. And so we were in a little village, and we were going to go to the market. And it was raining. And the rain comes, it'll rain half an hour or so. All of a sudden, the rain's gone, it's sunny again. This time, the rain was going to stay, you could tell. So we couldn't go to the open air. So we're in a house, we're all sitting around talking, and they wanted me to give a word, but we couldn't because he had metal on his roof, and the rain's just pouring down, tropical rain. You couldn't hear my voice. There was a man there, and I think he must have been a minister of Seventh-day Adventist or something. He was sitting there in the room with us. He said, you can have a meeting in my building. So we went up maybe about 200 yards, and there was a building, wooden roof, and actually had pews in there. So it was quite something. So it was about maybe 15 of us. And I don't know why, but I started giving my testimony. I don't know why I did that. I started giving my testimony. Now, because of the rain, the people are coming back from the market, and they're walking by, and they hear the preaching in that building. So they come in. And within 20 minutes, we had a full building. The building was full of people. And they were sitting on the floor in front of me and everything. And I was giving my testimony, and souls were saved. And so I have this idea, you know. I'm going back there, God willing. They sent me emails 3-4 times already to come back next fall. God willing, I'll be there this fall, October, November, December. And I'm going to introduce them over the phone or email. Have a gospel series. Imagine that now. Have a series in your building there. Have it. Give them invitations. Cheap paper. We'll pass them out to everybody. There's a meeting every single night this week, Sunday to Friday. And we'll go somewhere else. We'll rent a building, Sunday to Friday, Sunday to Friday. That's a gospel campaign. And God often works in gospel campaigns because you're hearing it night after night after night, the same message. And we'll get speakers outside so they can sit outside in the grass because I know they'll come. They'll come for the gospel series. While I was there, Busia is about 20 miles from the Ethiopian border. Ethiopia borders Kenya. So chief brethren came over from Ethiopia on their bicycles to meet me, and we sat and we talked, and they want me to come to Ethiopia the next time I'm there. So God willing, this fall, I'll be going to Kenya and over to Ethiopia. I got an email from South Africa, and they want me to come soon. I don't know what that means. I told them I'm free last half of April, May, and June. And then there's an invitation to go to Ghana. Ghana is a country over there, and it's similar to Kenya. So I'm not sure exactly yet where I'm going in the spring. Going somewhere, I think, maybe for April and May, May, June. And then I come back, and, of course, the summer work with the children. Now, I'll just mention there are assemblies. I showed the presentation. There are assemblies very interested in my going because of what's happening when I do go. So they're very interested. And so I came back. There are needs over there, you know. I know there are brethren in North America who have funds. And if there's a need, if they know of a need, they'd love to meet the need. You know, it's just the kind of brethren they are. And I know some brethren like that. So I mentioned Brother Evans. Now, it took us over half a day to get to a little assembly that they planted. Half a day. They travel by taxi. They're like vans all over the place. The taxis hold 18 people. And they put in about 30 people. That's what they do. They just, somebody's standing on the side of the road. The guy, he's standing there like this, holding the door. The driver slows down. He opens the door. The woman gets in like this, and he takes off. Door's still open. He closes the door. She just spreads herself out like this somewhere, pack them all in, and we had to take a taxi, motorcycle, another taxi. Another Brother Evans needs a vehicle. He does. He really needs a vehicle. So I mentioned this to different brethren, and I was in Schenectady, and I had one brother came to me, just one brother, and he said to me, I want to know how much money he needs for the vehicle. I want to buy him a vehicle. You know, it's very kind of him. He doesn't have to do that because I know there are other assemblies. I'm going to two more down in the U.S. after Summerside next week, and they want to help. The brother, Paul Adu, I mean, he has no wiring, no plumbing, you know. Well, the wiring is only $500, so we can get the man some wiring. I got a letter from one of the chaplains as I left the prison, and I read the letter, and he said, you know, we don't have a building. We meet every Sunday. We meet on Wednesday under a tree. We have no building. And it's wet. We can't sit down. He mentioned this need to me. And paying for Emmaus Bible courses, I'm not sure how that works. They're free at first, then you got to pay for them. And there are prisoners who want to take Emmaus Bible courses, but they don't have any money, so they don't. So I want to look into that as well and let the brethren know so we can help them over there in Kenya. A building, goodness sake, the building, you saw the building, is this metal, corrugated metal sheets. They put them up, the roof, the sides, put a door in there, and they get some plastic chairs, and voila, you got a building. There it is. So it wouldn't cost much for me to arrange this, so I don't want to talk about money. You know, I just let this, I give that to Pete. Let the need be known, and I leave that with the brethren. And I know they'll look after it. And so I thank the Lord for brethren who are interested and care. They care about the gospel, and they care about these poor countries. So I guess that's the presentation. So thank you very much for listening. So I think Brother Jacques is going to close in prayer. Yes?